Let's Eat In today at Roberta's Pizza, which is where Heritage Radio Network is located. Our show today is brought to you by Fairway Market. Like no other market, check out fairwaymarket.com. I'm your host, Kathy Irway. And next to me is our guest, Josh Greenfield. And Josh writes a blog called Why I Eat In. And you can see why I was intrigued by this blog, probably.
What's going on?
Thanks so much for coming today.
Yeah, of course. Nice to be here.
First time to Roberta's. Mm-hmm. Oh, great. We're also giving away Heritage Foods USA, which is our, parent company, I guess, here. Free pork samples. If you want to call in and win something, we could do that. The number to call is 718-497-2128. You can also ask us questions because we have a lot of cooking to talk about and other stuff. Josh is also in a band called The Canon Logic.
Indeed,
and
yes.
And he's going to play a little song later on. So your musical interest predated your food interest. And what prompted this sudden food interest, I guess?
Well, it started as a way just to kind of feed myself because I didn't have very much money. Apparently, as a musician, you don't really get paid. At least
regularly.
We haven't in about 6 years. So, but we love it. So I had to figure out ways to kind of cut back. And I had been into cooking. And when I went on unemployment, I just needed some extra money. So I started cooking and just kind of slowly formed into other things.
Other things. So, and you also kind of do this underground catering service for Why I Eat In. And I've heard of amazing feats that you've pulled off, like you catered somebody's party. I think it was like a bachelorette party.
There was kind of the opposite. It was like a 2-year-old's birthday party. So when I got the email, I was wondering if it was going to be like a gourmet upscale baby food party, but I quickly realized that I guess when you're when you're a parent and you have kids that are young, the party's usually for the friends. So I didn't have to do too much baby food.
Well, I heard that there's some really good stuff on the table. What'd you make?
I catered with a friend. He helped me out. Did a nice panzanella salad. We did these like Big Mac sliders. A couple different kinds of bruschetta, like a white bean. We did these little curry egg bites. All kinds of stuff.
Curry like deviled eggs? Or
sort of. It was in a little phyllo dough and just like a little curried egg salad. So it was sort of like a deviled egg, I guess, with paprika
but with
on it.
The but egg whites and hard-boiled and all mm-hmm. chopped up. Mmm, that sounds good. Really good.
That was my friend thought of that one.
Hors d'oeuvre bites.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. I like little bites. I think you get a lot of variety.
Right, it's good for a party.
Exactly.
You don't have to use hands or mm-hmm. Forks.
Forks.
You have to use hands.
Well, I guess you could eat it. Someone could feed you as well.
Especially the babies.
Yeah.
So you also do this, and I've heard great things about what you've been doing with this too. And I kind of think this is pretty culturally significant, but mutual friend of ours, Nick, he likes eating good, healthy food and he doesn't have the time to cook it. And he doesn't really, he's kind of bored of his options eating out and takeout and stuff like that. So he asked Josh to be his kind of personal chef, I guess. And it sounds like you've been doing that with a lot of other clients too. Totally like friends or friends of friends mm-hmm. on a very, underground, just hobbyish sort of way. And you cater these meals to fit their tastes and their weekly, cravings and health inclinations.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it started out with Nick. He had asked me, he said I had a few things that he really likes to eat, and he wanted to see if I could pair some stuff with that so we could kind of combine ingredients. And I kind of realized that there are so few people that have the time to cook food, but that want homemade stuff. And
just like moms.
Yeah, exactly. And instead of making it a business so much, it was more of a way to have people get that kind of things on like a friendly level. Because I for a long time I've been cooking, I've been inviting friends over, and I love that I can just have someone over after a long day of work and they get to eat like a home-cooked meal. I think it's something that not everyone gets to have in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So people started asking me if I would deliver to them. So it just kind of fell into it. I wasn't even really trying, and sort of spread friends of friends. So now I have clients throughout the week. And
how many do you have now?
I've got about 6 or 7. And my brother Mike is moving in. He's a cook as well. So once he comes in, I'll be able to take on a lot more. That'll be nice.
Yeah, because otherwise it's just you.
Yeah.
Wow, feeding 6 people.
And it's not too bad. It's fun, and it's really nice to be able to give people what they're looking for, because that's what's important to me. I know how important it is to eat well, and you just kind of feel a lot better and have more energy. And for those hard workers who deserve good food, I guess that's what I
provide. Yeah, it's a very personal thing, too. And, you know, I know Nick is not exactly someone who might even know what he wants, but he can sort of describe what he's feeling like, and then you'll put something together for him. And, you know, I have to say, it's really actually prompted his interest to learn more about what foods are and how to make them too, because it sounds like you guys have this rapport, and I'm sure you do with the other clients too. And then they're like, oh, and it becomes a fascination. It's more interesting. And then they may be even better equipped. I don't know if this is so good for your business to make stuff themselves though, from there on.
Well, that's okay. Cause I find that it just sort of spreads, you know, if I lose one client, someone else just kind of comes up. So
that's true.
It's always okay. There's always work and people that are looking. And Nick is a great example, because he knows that he likes a few things, but he's not really sure how to blend them. You know, he might want to use chickpeas, so it's my job, I'm kind of challenged to make a meal not only that goes well with chickpeas, but something that I can put in a container that he can then mix in chickpeas with that will hold for a week. So it's fun to be challenged. My clients do challenge me. I think I have one today I have to work on after this. I got tasked with combining avocados, cinnamon, apples.
What?
almonds, a few different weird things, sweet potatoes. So
he wants to combine them, or
I think he wants it for his like weekly, because I usually give like a weekly ration of food, so I have to figure out how to make like a few different dishes, I guess, from
all
that.
Right, well, maybe we have a call right now. Maybe he has something he wants you to make. We'll see. Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on, dude?
Not much.
What? The Ducksworth man over here.
The Ducksworth?
Yeah. What's, you know, that? I was thinking about it because, you know, I was walking down the street with my design staff, and we were like, man, you know, we should really eat in more, you know, because we spend so much time, especially taking out Indian and Greek. You know, it's too much money. Plus, I think if we really tried, we could wrangle up, like, some spinach and, like, the spinach and chickpea stuff that I like at the Indian restaurant. I really feel like if I tried and put some effort into it, I could make it myself. You know what I mean?
You totally could. Just have a few spices on hand, grab some fresh stuff, spinach.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what spices I would use in, like, I guess curry is the main thing, yeah?
Yeah, try curry powder, or if you want to just play around with it, grab a thing of cumin, a thing of coriander, and maybe some cinnamon and cayenne pepper. Yeah. And I'd
that
just
does sound
do
very,
it.
Yeah. That actually does sound pretty flavorful.
Yeah, and then you could increase some spices and not others. Use some fresh cilantro, maybe just add some fresh zing.
Mm-hmm. Sure thing.
Yeah, excellent. Try it out.
Sounds good.
I think I might make Indian food tonight, actually. That's actually what I might do. I might just check out our local organic grocery store and get some of those spices.
Cool. Well, good luck with that, and thanks for calling.
No problem. Thank you. Okay. I'll talk to you guys soon.
See ya.
Bye.
All right. So, yeah, Indian. That's a good thing. I don't know, something about hot foods and hot or spicy foods and hot days. I love it.
Yeah, it does work. You wouldn't think it would, but I actually have some chicken marinating right now and some yogurt and spices. It's amazing how much flavor you get from that, and it tenderizes the chicken as well.
I was always weirded out by marinating chicken in yogurt, but I've done it too, and it works. I don't know what it is about it. It tenderizes it, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the cultures in the yogurt. It's kind of like marinating chicken in buttermilk, similar.
Yeah, for fried chicken.
Yeah, fried chicken.
Maybe you can have a yogurt fried chicken with like a chickpea crust.
Yeah.
Chickpea flour crust. Ooh.
That would be good.
There we go.
Wow. Speaking of yogurt, I've started to use yogurt to make sauces more than sour cream and mayonnaise, because you can do, like, you can just chop up like chipotles in a can and mix them with yogurt and you get like a really good sauce. And I guess some people are sort of turned off by sour cream a little bit and mayonnaise, and yogurt works really well.
Yeah, and yogurt has probiotics. It's you know.
Healthy, yeah.
It is healthy.
People like healthy these days.
Hey, you know, it's summer. Yeah. I'm all about that. And so all of your clients are kind of more into the healthy, or does somebody else want, like, you know, burgers and
it depends. A lot of them are doing it, I think, because they're tired of making poor choices. It's a combination of poor choices, like, you know, you're sitting around at your house and it's late night and you don't feel like cooking, so you just order something out and you might get like a burger and fries. So they like knowing that, okay, I spent money this week on food and it's going to be good and it's going to be healthy. Like, I might as well eat that instead of wasting money. So I do have some clients that will write in and say, hey, this week I was talking to my trainer and he said, I think I had one recently that said to not eat tofu and soy products, which was kind of surprising because I always thought tofu was kind of the becoming more in.
But he just doesn't like it.
I guess the trainer just said to stay away from it. I don't know why, but okay. I'm willing to try anything. It's always like a learning experience for me. Right. So it's fun to get, you know, clients who are willing to be open.
Yeah.
And then I have other ones who are a little more specific, but I do usually have some room to play around.
Cool. And I imagine they all have different budgets that they want to work within.
Mm-hmm.
So that
definitely changes things. But I have a group of four guys and I deliver to one place. They're all friends. Mm-hmm. So that makes things easier because I can kind of make them similar things.
That's cool. Well, maybe you could do stuff like offices, like that guy on the phone was like, yeah, you know, my whole office gets takeout, and, you know, especially for a small office of four, I don't know, people or 10.
Yeah, that's not a bad
group
idea.
Group meals. That's kind of what I'm doing at 6 point. So let's take a quick break and let's hear Josh jam out a little bit live.
All right.
On Heritage. You're going to hear it here. Canon Logic, why don't you bust something up?
Cool.
Thanks.
Go for it.
All right, let's see what happens here. Never thought he was wrong. He never admits to anything at all. Given the choice, I see I learned a lot today. Now I must believe him. How else could I see that I'm a fool? Barely awake, mistrust I would combust for once. So if you feel your life is overwhelmed by sex and crimes and drugs, all birthed in hell, now is your time to take control. If we're all one, then you've got no soul. And so it goes to show now that you are hell, yes, you are hell. I should've known, I know too well now. I'm out of here, my life is clear.
Whoa.
Little half song there.
Congratulations, that was awesome. You know, your voice just totally changed or something, or it sounds very it has a like kind of raspy, it's kind of like almost like English sounding or something.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, when you're trying to develop your voice as a songwriter, it goes through lots of changes. I feel like there are some people that are kind of just naturally born with a really good voice, and I've always had a horrible voice, so it kind of gave me room to play around and to just try out different things, which at first I thought was a bit of a curse, but now I'm starting to enjoy it more that I'm learning how to sing a little bit.
I really like it. It sounds great.
Thank you.
Wow, great. And that's your own song? You write?
Yeah, it's just something I'm working on, so I've got about half of it done. And
okay.
The first half is the easy part, yeah, and then the second half is when things get kind of tricky, but...
Gosh. Yeah. So you guys write songs together after, like, kind of playing around with them on your own?
We all sort of do generally our own songwriting. Sometimes we'll be, in, you know, working together and writing stuff, but we like to write half songs and then bring that 50% to the band, and everyone kind of adds their own flair. It's the beauty of being in a band, because it's one thing to know how something sounds in your head, but to have four other guys to kind of tune in to do things that you could never imagine. That's where like the creative stuff comes in.
Cool. So. I find that happens in cooking too.
Yeah. Cooking and music, very similar. I kind of go back and forth throughout the day, but there's a lot of similarities in there.
Yeah. Like yeah. when we were cooking for that Finger on the Pulse barbecue at Hope Lounge, I felt like there was just... And, you know, you came in and like a savior, like to help chop and do sausages and all this stuff. But there was definitely a lot of, you know, collaboration. And I'm sure that happens in every kitchen, but it was definitely winged.
That was great. And that sausage, I probably had like 15. I couldn't stop eating. Stuff. They were good. Yeah.
Yeah. That was good times with the Snacky Tunes hosts, which are on next. They have this barbecue series. You should totally check out their next one. Coming up down the road. Check out FOTPNYC.com. And when's the next Canon Logic show?
Well, to kick off, we're doing an East Coast tour. So Mercury Lounge is Friday, I think August 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're just going to be in like New York, Philly, Virginia, Boston. Just kind of like a Northeast tour thing.
Cool. Congrats.
I'm excited.
Well, have fun with that.
Yeah, it should be fun. Road.
What's going to happen with your clients when they're going to well, get a lot of freezer meals?
Luckily, my brother moves in August 1st, so that we go on tour, I think, the 4th or the 6th or something. Dates in my head don't work out always, but so he'll be here to help out. It's going to be really nice to have him because he just graduated and he's really focusing on food. So it frees me up to do more music, but also to stay kind of in line with the catering and
I don't
delivering.
Know how you keep up with it all, honestly.
It's fun.
Yeah?
So I enjoy it, yeah.
Well, good for you. So, you know, it reminds me a little bit. I saw this New York Times article recently about dining clubs in Brooklyn, particularly. Mm. It talked to a couple members of them, and it's not exactly a supper club. It's not like a nice feast at someone's home, but it was like a swap where people would make six portions. Say there's six people in the club, six portions of whatever dish, and then they give it to everybody in the club.
Wow.
And then somebody else, it's the next day, it's somebody else's turn, and then give it to everybody in the club. And it makes sense because, you know, you could cook in batches and it's not that much work, more work than just cooking for yourself. And if you're the kind of person who makes stuff in batches anyway and then eats leftovers throughout the week, then you get a different leftover from somebody else. And so I imagine that would be really fun because you'll see what other people cook. And I guess hopefully you'll have good cooks on your club.
Yeah, that's probably the important part.
And see who's the weakest link.
it's like potluck sort of. I like the idea that you get like different leftovers though. That's pretty cool.
There's definitely a lot of trends though, and people wanting to eat stuff that's homemade and maybe by their friends.
Mm-hmm. It's a really fun way to bring people together. That's what I love about cooking. I get to help people eat healthy, but I also really like throwing parties and sort of customizing them to exactly what people want because. I've noticed it gets really expensive to go to restaurants and people are trying to cut back. So I started doing sort of like a dining club underground restaurant.
Tipped, and then there's
the drinks,
group tips and corkage, who knows what.
No, I have this group of like about 15 girls that I cook a meal for every month and kind of turn my apartment into a little bit of a restaurant. And it just sort of happened one day. They asked me, like, would you cater for us because we're tired of going to restaurants and you never know how much you're going to spend and how much you're going to drink. So I would set like a price and they would just bring their own alcohol. And they said they love it because they get to be, you know, as loud and obnoxious as they want and they know the food's going to be good. And they're all vegetarian. So I try to, you know, every time I'll do a different cuisine and try to cater it around that. And it's fun. It's nice to be able to do that.
You really are like a multi-cuisine, you know, cook. Mm-hmm. You don't just stick with Indian food or whatever.
Yeah, I'll try anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to, it's kind of like culinary homeschooling where every month or so I'm trying new, buying a few different spices. Like right now I'm doing a lot of Vietnamese stuff. I just made pho for the first time and that was really good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I imagine that's all about the soup, you know, the broth. And that's a complex broth, right? Or beef. Was it beef or...
Yeah, you boil... well, first you char ginger and onions, and then you boil that with... you pick like a beef, like chuck, and a bunch of beef bones, and you make a spice bag. It's like cardamom, coriander, fennel, and a few other things, I think cloves. And that's, it's like a 4 or 5 hour process. But yeah, once you get the beef, then the fun stuff starts happening.
All right. That sounds pretty familiar to other Asian soups now that I think of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, pho in the heat. Pho. Again, I love it. The noodles, though, you didn't make the noodles, right?
No, that rice noodles, I try to make everything that I can from scratch, but rice noodles, I've stayed away from. There's certain equipment you need to make, like, the rice paper and the noodles, so one day.
Yeah, well, your breads were amazing. I couldn't believe that you had just recently started making breads, because when I tried your challah and those bagels, you made those amazing chipotle-flavored bagels, they were perfection.
Bagels are fun, yeah. Especially since kind of not stealing so much from your idea, but that's sort of how the name of the blog came. But when I first picked up your book and saw the concept and a light went off, I realized that's what I had pretty much been doing and I should start a blog. And then I read your book, which was awesome and very inspiring.
Oh, thanks.
I think I read the whole thing in like 3 days, and the next day I just started writing.
Writing why you didn't.
Yeah, exactly. And when you do eat in and you crave something, you have to figure out how to make it. There's no other option, you know?
Uh-huh.
So while there are some things I still can't make, it's a fun challenge to try to, like, recreate something that you're used to.
It's a lifelong mission.
Yeah.
You could just keep doing it.
Exactly.
There's no end to it.
That's the fun part, yeah.
Well, you know, that just breaks my heart, or what, not melts my heart. I don't know. Yeah.
Breaks your heart in a good way.
It's good, yeah. All right, so let's talk about, what would you make for a date meal? Like a spicy, steamy.
I love asking
this question. I can't get enough of it. Everyone has a different answer.
Well, with that kind of stuff, it's less about the meal, like what's actually being made, and more about making it fun and exciting. I feel like people...
I shouldn't put aphrodisiacs in it?
Well, no, you can. You're welcome to. Spicy food. I know some people try to stay away from garlic or spicy food, but to me it's more about the experience and inviting someone over and having them feel comfortable. And I feel like one of the fun ways to do that is, instead of preparing this really nice candle-lit romantic dinner, do something that's more hands-on, like show them how to make like pizza dough and pizza, and help them roll, because it's more of an interactive thing, and people might be a little uncomfortable at first, but it's a really good way to break someone out of their shell.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so true. It's more about the experience. Yeah, you feed a man a day and then, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Teach a man to cook or roll out pizza dough. Do you roll it out, or you just... You hang, you know.
Yeah, I can't do the flipping in the air thing. I've tried it. It's more of like a novelty. It's just kind of fun. But I usually try to press it out. I know there's kind of they say, like, don't roll it. Like, true pizza dough is not rolled with a roller.
No. You kind of stretch it.
Yeah, stretch it.
On a floured surface. Rotate around and around.
Sometimes I'll roll flatbreads. My dad made me this really cool rolling pin that has, like, a notch set out, so no matter how much you roll it, it goes to like a quarter inch, so that's nice. But otherwise, fingers.
So your date meal would be to show somebody how to roll, and that's an engaging, you know, thing too. Yeah.
Pizza's a good one. I mean, there are other things people like to make, really anything that might be intimidating at first on your own, but that's really simple, because pizza, there's like three ingredients.
And you can't fail that much, you know? It always tastes good. Everybody likes pizza.
Yeah, exactly. Cheese, sauce.
Fun.
But yeah, I think that's the best experience, getting people to be comfortable in their own skin. And they don't even have to like cooking. It's just like the food is sort of the vehicle to open someone up, or to, you know, make them challenge or be creative or something.
Do you ever, like, I mean, what if somebody's totally averse to cooking? I mean, I know some people who are just like, no, not my thing.
Yeah, I mean, there are people that everybody eats, you know, which is nice.
That's true.
So you at least have that. And there are
if
some
you're gonna
people.
If you're going to eat it, you got to make help out here.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. At least
you're going to go hungry tonight.
Those people get to clean the dishes, and that's interactive as well. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know, you can't be too stodgy about some things that are basic necessities, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Cleaning, cooking.
I know a lot of people that are not so much against cooking as that they are intimidated by it. I don't run into too many people that aren't willing to at least try something, even if it's like, here, stir this sauce around a little bit. I think maybe because everyone has to eat food, of course, so they're willing to, like, learn about what's going into the process.
I would hope so. Yeah. And when it's right before you and you have that opportunity, whereas you don't in a lot of cases if you purchase the food pre-cooked. So why not take advantage of it?
Yeah.
See, a lot of people help out and, you know, or just at least can see, watch the cooking process when you cater at parties or...
It depends on the party. I've offered and only done a few parties where people get to do like a pizza making party or sushi rolling, because sometimes people do want to interact, and that becomes part of the experience. You're not just standing around drinking and eating, you're doing something. It's
sushi
like instead of go bowling.
A great idea. Yeah. I like leaving out like sushi toppings or fillings, and everyone, it's like a taco party, everyone picks their own and rolls of sushi.
And that's always the hardest part about sushi, is like getting all the stuff prepared, finding the fish, making the rice. Once it's all out there, then it's fun.
It's not hard to roll together, not at all. Yeah, I'm actually teaching a sushi class, or a takeout Japanese class, at Brooklyn Kitchen this Thursday.
Oh, nice.
Check it out online at brooklynkitchen.com and buy a ticket. I'm going to make some weird rolls. I was thinking of doing a lobster roll roll.
Oh, wow. Lobster roll roll.
Like, you know, the filling with like a mayonnaised lobster salad.
That would be good.
Maybe a little sesame. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to think about this a little bit.
What's the weirdest roll you've ever rolled?
Well, I like doing the BLT roll. That's going to be on there. I tried to do a roll niçoise. That was pretty weird. You know, tuna and egg and capers. That was a little weird. I don't know about that one.
The tough thing I find with sushi rolling and getting weirder flavors is the balance of the seaweed.
Nori, I know.
Yeah, because you don't notice it when it's with proper ingredients, but once you start doing, I did like a barbecued chicken bacon roll.
Ooh,
once, and
that's a little weird.
Yeah, it was the nori is like you're getting that hint, and you're like, what's going on?
The thing is that it pairs really well with neutral things like cucumbers. It's just totally you need something there, so it's good. So I do want to thank the caller who called in today, because he just won Heritage Foods Porterhouse pork chops.
Wow,
that's a pretty good deal just for calling in. Awesome. And that's really funny that he's making Indian food tonight and he's getting pork, because I don't think that's gonna work together. But maybe another time.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks again, Josh. And,
yeah, thank you for having me.
This is awesome. And thanks for the song. Let's see Ken and Logic coming up, and check out Why I Eat In. It's Y, the letter I, the letter eat, and then N, the letter .com.
Indeed, yes.
All right. Write a book soon, please.
We'll see. If it falls in my lap, I will.
Thanks again. I'd like to thank Jack and Nat in the controller booth, Heritage Foods, and our sponsor today, Fairy Market. I'm your host, Kathy Ari. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to Let's Eat In on the Heritage Radio Network. For appearing on Let's Eat In, Josh Greenfield receives a free 2010-2011 Zagat New York City Shopping Guide, and this has just been released. Based on the discerning opinions of 7,500 of New York's most sophisticated shoppers, Zagat's new 2010-2011 New York City Shopping Guide has all you need to know about 2,345 top establishments citywide, ranging from your favorite designer to chic boutiques and that special hidden gem. Thanks again to Zagat, and for more information on them, you can visit their website at www.zagat.com. Thanks for listening.